نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Most respected listeners, it is mentioned on occasion Hazrat Auf bin Malik Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, his son whose name was Salim, it so happened that the kuffar managed to capture him and they took him. So naturally the parents become full of anxiety, grief, worry. So the grandfather Malik radiallahu anhu came and informed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of the predicament that the parents of Salim are facing. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a message to Malik that informed the parents that tell them, recite abundantly la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So alhamdulillah, the parents started reciting and reciting in abundance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that the son Salim, he was captured, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused his capturers to become negligent of him, and his high hands were tied, and all of a sudden the ropes just started falling off, and he managed to escape. And when he escaped, he jumped on one of the camels, and then he started proceeding, and then he found a flock of sheep, of goats, and he indicated to all these animals, this flock of goats and the sheep, that to follow him. So the animals obeyed him and followed him. So when he comes back, naturally the parents are very, very excited and happy that the son has returned. But the father was worried that now these animals that have come with him, what is it permissible, etc. So he goes to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he tells Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam what had transpired. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam thereafter mentioned that this verse was revealed, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. That person who adopts taqwa, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open a way out for him. وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ عِيْسُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. By adopting taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates an exit from all problems and difficulties. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants sustenance from sources that a person is not even aware of. So in other words, by reciting this la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and by adopting taqwa, look at the fruits of it, that the son Salim was freed, and also with that came the blessings in the form of all these animals. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, once he was in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the words escaped from his mouth, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam inquired that, O Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, do you know what is the meaning and explanation, what is the tafsir of la hawla wa la quwwata of these words? So he said, Allahu wa rasulu alam, Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam know best. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained, la hawla an ma'siyatillahi illa bi ismatillah, that there is no ability to abstain from disobeying Allah and sinning except by the protection of Allah. In other words, there is no ability to abstain from disobeying Allah and committing sins and gunas except by the protection of Allah. And وَلَا قُوَّةَ عَلَىٰ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِمَعُونَتِهِ, and there is no strength to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except with the help of Allah. In other words, a person does any good deeds, it is only through the fadl, and it is to Allah ta'ala's tawfiq, divine ability, that Allah ta'ala inspired him to do these good deeds, and this is from the help and assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mawlana Abdul Ghani Pulpuri rahmatullahi explained that although this phrase is just a statement, we normally take it as a statement, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, but little do we realize it's actually a dua. Why it is a dua? Because we are begging Allah, oh Allah, I ask you to grant me the ability to abstain from disobeying you and sinning by your protection, by you protecting me. And oh Allah, I'm asking you to grant me strength to obey you by helping me. Subhanallah. Not only this is a phrase and a kalima, but actually this is a dua. Now the question might be asked, why was the request to be protected from gunas and sins brought first, followed by the request to become obedient? Why we are asking, oh Allah, that protect me from gunas, and then oh Allah is asking help to do good deeds? So the ulama explained that every sin results in the anger and wrath of Allah, whereas the ability to do good is only by the mercy and kindness of Allah. So understand, when a person commits guna, then this draws the wrath and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person does good, then Allah ta'ala's mercy is upon him, Allah ta'ala's kindness is upon him. And the causes for the wrath and anger of Allah will have to be removed before the mercy can be acquired. So in order to draw the mercy, first a person needs to avoid the anger and wrath of Allah. That is why it is mentioned, دَفْءُ غَدَبِهِ مُقَدَّمْ عَلَى جَلْبِ رَحْمَتِهِ, that to avert, to remove the anger of Allah has priority then to commit good deeds. In other words, to remove the wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this has to be removed first for a person to draw the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This dua also can be recited thus, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahil aliyyil azim. So these two words are added, Ali and Azim, the most lofty and the greatest. By repeating these names of Allah ta'ala, one realizes the lofty position and grandeur of Allah, and realizes how low and despicable, contemptible he is. So when a person thinks about the names of Allah, Allah is the most lofty, Allah is the most great, Allah is the greatest. And when he considers himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is lofty, Allah ta'ala is the greatest. I am nothing, I am despicable, I am so low, I am contemptible. So once he realizes this, then he will acquire abdiyat. He will become the true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this way he will become more humble. He will humble himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mashayikh mentioned that these kalimas are very, very powerful. And they are great, great benefits. It is a means of acquiring the fadl of Allah ta'ala. Shaykh Abu al-Hassan Shazli rahmatullahi alayhi has quoted his mashayikh, who had explained that there are no words as beneficial and helpful as these words in submitting to Allah and in entering the path of His fadl, favors and grants. So in other words, these words are so powerful that this will cause a person to become submissive to the commands of Allah. And this will be a means of him entering into the path of Allah Ta'ala's kindness and His favors and whatever Allah Ta'ala grants of because of His mercy. So what a beautiful kalima. This must be said, inshallah tomorrow we will continue with regards to the virtues of these words. The virtues of reciting la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahil aliyyil azim. So if a person reads it, should try and read the whole thing inshallah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahil aliyyil azim. When he hears the azan, we say the same words as the muazzin. But when he comes to hayya al-salah and hayya al-falah, we use the same words, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Because the person is hearing the azan, the muazzin is saying, hayya ala salah, come towards salah, hayya ala falah, come towards success. Then, sometimes, if a person, na'uz billah, Allah forbid, person is involved in guna, he does not come for salah. Or a person is just become lazy, and he is saying, I will go, but because of laziness and negligence, he does not go for that salah. So this are amounts, and this is understood that this only because of the tawfiq of Allah. If a person comes to the masjid and performs salah, then this is through the tawfiq and ability, divine ability Allah has given that person. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq also in these trying times to recite this kalima la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim in abundance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow with the other virtues, inshallah. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu.